Welcome to Analyst Talk with Jason Alder. It's like coffee with an analyst, but there's no actual coffee. Each episode, we interviewed an expert in the field of law enforcement analysis to share their career-defining stories and to get their insights on the world. Please join us on recognizing and learning from these brilliant minds as we define the law enforcement analysis profession one episode at a time.
Thank you for joining me. I hope many aspects of your life are progressing. My name is Jason Alder, and today we're going to do things a little bit different. No guests today. I'm recording before Christmas, publishing in between Christmas and New Year's. So I decided to do an episode on the top 10 most influential people to the International Association of Crime Analysts, the IACA. The IACA is 30 years old this year. So I wanted to explore the idea of who has had the greatest impact on the association over the last 30 years. Before I begin, I just wanted to say, for those that maybe get tired of hearing the same names on publications, on this program, or think that the IACA is too clicky, I just want to let you know that I hear you. We've heard you in the survey, and we are going to get to folks that may be off the beaten path or people that you may not recognize their name. But for now, this episode might not be for you, but I do encourage you to continue and listen. We will have on next week Jeff Vandersip from San Diego Sheriff's Department. He is from a large department, and he's also going to talk about his work on solving cold case homicides. So please be sure to tune in next week. So where this idea came from was from Christopher Bruce's episode. I was trying to come up with his introduction, and I was struggling because he has so much to offer the profession and the association. And what I ended up doing is introducing him as one of the four people that would be on Mount Rushmore if there was an IACA Mount Rushmore. And that gave me an idea and had me start thinking of who would be the other three. I was thinking it was going to be easy. I was thinking that everybody would have the same answer for their top five, and that maybe four or five you might have interchange. For the most part, I thought this was going to be something where we weren't going to get much variety. I sent out a couple of texts back in September. What I quickly realized is there wasn't easy as I thought it was going to be, and there was a lot of variety. Just like we do often in analysis, we have to get to what question we're trying to answer and try to make sure that all the variables are well defined. The first thing I realized is when I said who had the most impact on the association or who had the biggest influence over the association, many people instantly thought of the people that had influenced them personally the most. And so I've tried to remove that, just say, hey, we're trying to define who has had the largest impact on the association over its 30-year history. Another thing that I realized is that some people were saying the greatest crime analyst or the greatest law enforcement analyst. And that's something that I just thought was too big to describe. There's so many different variables and ways to define that. So I wanted to keep it more easily definable. And that's why I picked the greatest impact of the IACA as opposed to the profession. And then what I also realize is that some people, even with that same question, interpreted it differently. Some people wanted to talk about unsung heroes, people that really influenced the association behind the scenes. Some people purposefully left off people that were on the executive board because it's pretty well known their accolades and what they've done for the association. Still others talked about who has impacted not only them personally, but knows that they've impacted so many others and wanted to put them in their top five. The top five is subjective. It's who one thinks of or has contributed the most to the association. And I've tried my best to wrap my head around it because, as I said, I had my top five and I thought everybody else was going to match me. But then I realized when I started listening to other people, started getting explanations on their top five, I realized that my top five started to change. Things that I didn't think about or didn't realize. So I've decided to expand it from a top five to a top 10, And that's what I'm going to talk about today and get into my top 10. I'm forcing myself to go 10 to 1. I tried to answer the question, can I tell the story of the IACA without this person? Tried to get into the number of years that they influenced the IACA and what they actually contributed. Were they the face of the IACA? And what I quickly realized is being on the executive board had a heavy influence on my list. So the way the show is going to play out today is I'm going to give you the top 10, yes, but I'm also going to give you perspectives from other people and that either support or were outside of my top 10. I'm going to go on some honorable mentions here first from names that you've heard or from names of folks who have been on this podcast. And there's also going to be some new ones as well that you haven't heard from, but we soon will have them on the show here in the near future. So the honorable mentions. And these are people that didn't make my top 10 list, but certainly made other people's top 5 list. Talked to Albert Mesa. Albert said Mark Stallo, Gerald Tallman, Steve Gottlieb, Rachel Boba Santos, and Christopher Bruce. Now, I've mentioned most of those on the show before, maybe not Gerald Tallman. Gerald was vice president of membership for 6 years. Haven't had him on the show yet, but look forward to having him on sometime in 2021. And then Matt Harris, also had Matt Harris on the show before. He said Christopher Bruce, Sean Baer, Brian Hill, Julie Wortel, and Susan Whitford. Now, we haven't had Julie Wortel on. Julie did a lot of work for the association in terms of publications, specifically the book. When I talked to Sam Gwynn in our very first episode back in June, I told Sam that she was the IACA editor, but Julie might have something to say about that. Julie did a lot of editing on publications, taught and done work with the local associations. And then Noah Fritz. Noah talking about his top 5, one of which is Judy Kemenaw.
Judy was Mark Stallo's go-to person day in and day out during this term. She handled every project and initiative that the association took on, from conference planning, outreach, early certification plans, among everything considered. She was a charter member of the IACA and served on the executive board during the first decade as the IACA was being developed with Dale Harris and Mark Stallo. Her commitment and dedication went beyond volunteerism. It was her love of the profession that built the very foundation of the IACA.
Now, I'll admit, I don't know Judy. Just really getting to know her from insight from Noah, Dale Harris, and from Lori Frank. And Noah, he had his top 5, but he also had honorable mentions as well that I'd like to play.
There are 3 honorable mentions that would otherwise go unrecognized, who, without their support and commitment, the IACA would not have reached its current status. The first is Michelle Kennedy. Her efforts to implement, structure, and administer the IACA certification program brings us the same stature as passing the bar found in the legal profession. As the IACA grows, becoming a certified analyst will bring higher pay, greater legitimacy, and a professional prestige that our knowledge, skills, and abilities exemplify. The second, who very few people will know, is Jim Keller, the director at the National Law Enforcement and Correction Technology Center, the U.S. Department of Justice program that hosted CMAT, put his financial and conceptual support behind the IACA by hosting several strategic planning events, placed crime analysis at the center of crime mapping, and allowed his staff the time and travel to support analysts across the nation and the globe for over a decade. Without his support, the time and effort would have been either impossible or extended. The last honorable mention is Lou Nelson, the law enforcement industry manager at ESRI. Under his direction and support, ESRI donated software and laptop computer labs year after year that made CMAP and the IACA training computer labs a great success. The IACA training conferences provided top-notch GIS and other computer applications training that would not have been possible without his support. And these 3 honorable mentions, who without them, we would not be where we are today. Want to thank all of them for their professionalism and their dedication.
And then there's some folks that I heard from that haven't been on the show. Folks like Trina Cook. Trina used to be the chair of the certification committee for years. She comes to us from Washington State. And her top 5 are Don Chamberlain, Deb Peel, Michelle Kennedy, Sean Baer, and Rachel Boba Santos. With Don Chamberlain, he did a lot of work with threshold and patrol route monitoring. That's why she put him on the list. She put Deb Peel on the list with standing up the analysis unit with NYPD. In a couple of weeks, I will have Eric Driftmeyer on the show, and he gave his perspective on his top five by talking about Deb Peel.
Deb Peel is one of those analysts. She is from Massachusetts. When I first met Deb, she was an analyst for the Massachusetts State Police, and she was the president of MACA. Deb Peel, always another person very passionate about analysis and regional associations, MACA particularly, and IACA. I don't think she's ever held a volunteer position for the IACA, but she's now working for NYPD, which was her dream job. Very passionate about the analyst profession. And I've been to several conferences with Deb, both MACA and IACA. You can always count on Deb to stand up in a class or forum at a conference and talk very passionately about analysis and the profession and policing. Just be very articulate and profound. She's the type of person where I was thinking that, Deb, but I didn't have the words to express it, but you do. And she does that consistently. At every conference I've been to, we can always count on some words of wisdom from Deb. And I don't say that facetiously. I'm serious when I say that she has a lot of great ideas and a perspective on policing and analyst, law enforcement analyst profession that most people don't. And she shares that with people. So I thank her for that.
Eric is a former treasurer of IACA, is active in MACA, is a sworn officer turned analyst. And you'll want to listen in on his perspective of countering the opioid crisis with his police department. And Deb was mentioned during Christopher Bruce's episode as well. And again, I hope to have Deb on sometime in 2021. And Eric also talked about Carolyn Cassidy.
Carolyn Cassidy is on my list because she represents that enthusiasm for the IACA, for the organization, and for the analyst profession like no one else that I've met. She has taken on personal projects. I know she has been working with a new analyst group in Mexico. So she was, you know, working internationally, not sanctioned by the IACA, but certainly promoting our profession, the IACA, and what it offers in terms of training. I nominated Carolyn for the IACA Ambassador because of her fine work that she's done on her own to promote the analyst profession and the IACA. It wasn't an official position. It wasn't anything she was getting any sort of compensation, but that's just the type of person that Carolyn is. She is passionate about analysis and the IACA.
And I just go through all that so you can hear the different names, that this wasn't something as simple as I thought it was going to be, that people have different perspectives. People have different opinions on why certain members have contributed to the point where they're in their top five list. We also put out a survey to the membership. I'll go over the results of that at the very end. So as I am trying to explain why I put folks in my top 10 list, I wanted to talk about some of the committees at the IACA and try to explain that not all the committees are the same in terms of the importance, in terms of the impact to the association. So I've decided to actually do a top five in terms of the committees that I think have had the greatest impact on the association. But first, an honorable mention is International Outreach. It's not in the top five, but it does have a very important mission. This is a group whose mission is to ensure that this association is international. The membership breakdown for the association is heavily United States. All of the conferences has all been in the United States. The association puts on international symposiums, but for the most part, IACA has been an American association, and the international outreach tries to increase the membership for international members and to encourage participation of international members in the IACA. So I wanted to give some mentions, honorable mentions, to those that are international members of the ISCA and have influenced the association, like John Chapman and Rachel Carson from the UK, Roman West from Australia, Patricio Tudela from Chile, Friedrich Steiner, also known as Sam Steiner, Hector Amaya from Colombia, and Manny St. Pedro, currently is the chair of the technology committee for the IACA, comes to us from Canada. So for 4 and 5 committees that I think that have the greatest impact on the association, they actually go hand in hand. I have publications 5th and certification 4th. When Noah Fritz was on the show, he talked about that development of publications, getting the book together, having it tied to certifications. So there's 20 chapters in the book, there's 20 sections in the certification exam. And so their influence to the certification process is substantial because the book is used as a study guide for the certification. The book is IACA's Exploring Crime Analysis, Readings on Essential Skills. And that is the main product for publications, but they also had white papers that were published. They've also had different periodicals that were published throughout the year, have always reviewed much of the content that was on the website. And the certification, as Noah mentioned, there's about 70 folks that are currently certified by the IACA. That is something that folks strive for and want to get as part of their own professional development. And we've already mentioned Michelle Kennedy and Trina Cook, who have influenced the certification process over the years. Number 3 is training. Obviously, I think many people join the IACA because of training. They're looking to improve their skill set. They're seeking out easier ways to complete their tasks. Several training sessions go on each year, both online and in person. Normally, the conference is a training opportunity. So the training committee, Kyle Stoker is the face of that. He's been doing it now for a long time. And Kyle's actually on Noah's top 5 list. So let's take a listen on what Noah had to say about Kyle.
Kyle Stoker. What can you say about Kyle? The quiet, behind-the-scenes IACA training coordinator. He has guided the training series now for nearly 2 decades, pushing and organizing the initial in-person training series, and has grown the program into online courses, webinars, and a diverse set of topics. Kyle has been a steady rock behind the teaching and learning and a great source of additional revenue for the IACA that directly enhanced the profession and grew the membership.
We had Kyle on the show. Yes, he has had a great impact on the training committee over the years. The second committee that I think has had the greatest impact on the association is Technology Committee. That's mainly because of the website. The website is our main way of communicating and distributing out information to its members. We had the listserv the technology committee was responsible for. We had the listserv, which is a way for everyone to communicate with one another, share ideas, ask questions, recommend products. And now we have the forums where we have an opportunity to post on the website forum and search to get ideas and answers to our issues. And number 1, the committee that's had the biggest influence over the association is the conference committee. The conference is our biggest event each year. It's our biggest expense. Those that regularly go to the conference, we describe it as a family reunion. It's once a year, you see familiar faces, but you also get a bunch of new faces as well. It's an awesome time to get to know people in the profession, to see them face to face, to learn from them, and to talk about issues in the profession. To me, because it's the biggest expense, the biggest event, and the oldest event, that's why I have the conference committee having the biggest influence over the association. So there have been many chairs of the conferences over the years that have influenced the IACA. So those are my top 5 committees that have influenced the IACA. I am going to use that to then explain and do some tiebreakers in my top 10. because it got to be a struggle on trying to rank 1 through 10, but I forced myself to do it. Before I get to the top 10, I do have one honorable mention left, and that is Brian Hill. Brian ended up being on a lot of people's top five lists. So he was on Mike Winslow, Matt Harris, Steve Gottlieb's top five list. And Mike Winslow wanted to share some words as to why Brian Hill was on his top five list. Take a listen.
Brian Hill. Brian was just influential on so many levels for the IACA. You know, whenever someone had a question in our community and they put that on the listserv, you always knew that you could count on Brian for some kind of insight, at the very least an opinion, right? He always went out of his way to help people. And locally here in Arizona, he even taught crime analysis classes and mapping courses, and definitely helped mold a lot of the analysts here locally. And Brian's impacts were so profound on the IACA that they created an annual memorial award in his honor. So rest in peace, buddy.
And I will add, one person wanted to remain anonymous, but this person said of Brian, he was simply an analyst's analyst, always willing to provide insight. He didn't care about titles or accolades. He just cared about communicating good methods and sharing amongst one another. You've heard me talk about Brian on the podcast a couple times now. I really encourage you to listen to his own words. He was on Debbie Osborne's podcast years ago, and we do have it on the website. And Brian was big on the listserv. He answered questions, and he just didn't answer the questions. He would give a real complete answer. It wasn't just one or two sentences. It was three or four paragraphs. And he was a great writer, and he provided really great insight over the years. He would obviously talk about the technical questions that people had, whether it was in Excel or Microsoft Access, GIS, RMS, network drives, and databases. But he also would provide insight on predictive analysis, quantitative research, justifying analyst positions, what to do when you roll out a new analyst, and what's the first steps of a new analyst should do. As I mentioned, it wasn't just one or two sentences. And in fact, I went through and found some old messages on the listserv that I had in my email. Somebody asked what an analyst who was brand new to the department, they just created the position, rolling out the position, what should they do? Brian's response was 1,700 words. In fact, he ended it with an acronym, FORCE, fair treatment of the analyst, making sure the analyst isn't a clerk, making sure that the analyst is doing analytical duties. O, occupational support and training, support the analyst by sending him or her to training. R, for research and focus on main objectives. So what's the purpose of the analyst? What's he or she there to do? C is for crime analyst is a valuable commodity. That really goes without much explanation, but certainly a crime analyst can bring a lot to the table in terms of a police department. And finally, E is experience analyst gains by doing ride-alongs and shadowing of various units. And Brian talked about return on investment in terms of your training and getting the most out of what you've learned. And I think he actually mentored so many of us just through his postings on the listserv. You probably could create a book based on all his postings of the listserv. I had an opportunity to work with Brian when I was chair of the Standards, Methods, and Technology Committee. He helped us write white papers on GIS and records management systems. And I encourage you to read his book with Rebecca Panich, Fundamentals of Crime Mapping. So in November of 2019, the listserv was being sunsetted, and I did a posting to the listserv just acknowledging what the listserv had meant to me in my professional career. I talked about the good times and talked about Brian. There was a time there where seemed like it was the same folks answering questions and being on the listserv. And I talked about, since I was on the East Coast, a lot of times I could beat out Brian because he was on the West Coast and I could read it before he got there. there was a group of us that I do remember contributing a lot. It was Brian Hill, Bud Bliss, Leonard Leedy, Isaac Van Patten, and Tony Berger, just to name a few. So Brian and I met via the listserv, and we would exchange ideas back and forth. He would answer my questions fully, which I always appreciated. And for the longest time, I had no idea what Brian looked like. This was back before social media was really big and everybody posted their picture. But I remember when I did finally meet him in Arizona when ISCA was in there, I think around 2009. I remember it was like meeting a pen pal. It was like meeting somebody that I knew but had no idea what they looked like. So when I put out that last message to the listserv, it caused a little bit of commotion on the listserv because some people didn't realize the listserv was being sunsetted, even though the IACA did put out communication, said that that's what they were about to do. There was a big discussion about, you know, whether someone should create their own listserv, and some people reminisced with me and shared their story. I can just imagine if Brian was alive when I posted that, he would have sent me a private message saying, "You're my hero," which he did when I really came up with a good answer to a problem or came up with a great post on the listserv. I really wanted to put Brian in my top 10 list. I know there's such a personal connection and whatnot, and I really tried to stay objective with this top 10 list. But if I put Brian on there, I'd have to take somebody off my top 10 list off, and I just couldn't figure out a way to do it. Let's take a break. You're listening to Analyst Talk with Jason Elder. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mindy, and I am a writer for Analyst Talk with Jason Elder, as well as a current crime analyst. My PSA for our listeners is don't compare your origin stories to others. I used to be super insecure when asked, why do you want to be an analyst or in law enforcement? And I always felt like I had imposter syndrome because I didn't have a good reason. I don't have any family members in law enforcement. I've never been involved in a crime, knock on wood. And I just felt like I had no good reason for being here besides just being interested in the industry. 6 years later, I still don't feel like I have a good answer, but I love my job and I'm pretty good at it. Passion or your calling isn't something that just hits you one day. It is something that's built and maintained over time, day by day, every day. If you're on the fence whether you're cut out for this field, just go for it. If you currently have no reason, make a reason. Make your own origin story. I believe in you.
Hi, this is Steve French, and I have a message to you about language. Language is really important when you're doing your job. For instance, it isn't a zucchini, it's a courgette. It isn't a lobby, it's a foyer. It isn't Z, it's Z. Buses go on routes, not routes, and it is never, ever made out of aluminum.
Welcome back. All right, so the top 10 most influential people to the IACA that I have. I think this is hard. I think this was getting them actually in a specific order was tough. As I mentioned, there are tiebreakers of people that probably have the same amount of influence, but I forced myself to break the tie in various ways that I'll go over. I'll start out by saying that those that are in the top 10 but never served on the executive board, it really shows their profound impact on the association. Because the executive board, they're there to guide the IACA ship. To me, they should be having a great impact over the association. But for those that are on this list but never were on the executive board, that really shows that the work, products, services that they brought to the members really influenced the profession without having the vehicle like being on the executive board where it's assumed that that's what you're going to do. Number 10 on IACA's most influential list is Rachel Boba Santos. I first want to read an excerpt from Mary Garen Craig, who hasn't been on the show yet, but she had an impact on the IACA herself. She was a analyst with Alexander Police Department in Virginia, worked her way up into a leadership role with the police department, was a CMAP instructor back in the day, works currently for LexisNexis, and she was the IACA conference chair a couple of times, and she was also the training chair. What Mary says of Rachel, quote, Rachel pushed analysts to use criminological theory in their everyday work and to leverage statistical processes to understand long-term shifts and changes in crime. She worked with and trained analysts to embrace theories like SEPTED when approaching analysis. Always leading with research, she helped numerous departments to hire their first analysts, to equip those analysts with GIS tools and civilianize the field early in the 2000s, unquote. SEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design. And as I mentioned before, Rachel was in other folks' top five, like Trina Cook and Albert Meses. In terms of my take for Rachel, I had mentioned before that I said that Sam Gwynn was the editor for the IACA. Rachel would be the author. She's an analyst turned researcher. She started out as a crime analyst in Tempe Police Department, working with Sean Baer and Noah Fritz. She got her PhD, eventually worked for the Police Foundation, and then eventually became a full-time professor. She's currently the co-director of the Center for Practice, Policy, and Research at Radford University in Radford, Virginia. I got the opportunity to work with Rachel a couple of different times. About 6 months into my career, when I was stationed at Baltimore Police Department, I took training of hers when she was at the Police Foundation. She introduced me to a lot of basic analyst concepts that really helped me when I was first starting out. I also got an opportunity to work with her when I was chair of the Standards, Methods, and Technology Committee. She was on the standards subcommittee. There was a white paper written on definitions and types of crime analysis, and she made sure that the definitions that were in that white paper, she made sure that was the language used in all of her periodicals, everything that she wrote, which really did a great job of bringing legitimacy to not only the SMT, but to what SMT was producing. I also got a chance to work with Rachel when I was an analyst at Cincinnati Police Department. She was traveling the country to different police departments, trying to standardize and run CompStat. It didn't necessarily have to be CompStat, but she came to Cincinnati and gave suggestions on graphs, what charts, what to look for, what she found works in terms of the strategic plan and what didn't work. Working with her, I was able to implement some of her suggestions in Cincinnati's strategic plan. Rachel is also a IACA President's Award winner and Membership Award winner. We haven't had her on the show yet, but you can catch her on another podcast by Nicholas Rowe, Nero Knowledge. Her and her husband, Roberto, were on his podcast earlier this year, podcast called The Doctors Santos. So I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes so you can check it out. Number nine is Sean Baer. Sean, I got a chance to work with this year a lot. He has his own episode. He was part of the original five for this podcast. And we also produced Sean Baird's Guide to Hiring a Law Enforcement Analyst, which I highly recommend you check out if you haven't, because Sean gives great insight in that guide on how to hire and how to be hired as well. We go through different tips, both for the hiring manager and the person trying to be hired. Sean is also in Mike Winslow's top five. He also gave his reasonings for putting Sean in his top five.
Sean created a substantial piece of analytical software that's still used today in crime analysis and attack workstation, even though it goes by a different name now. He successfully was involved in the CMAP program that trained many analysts to help merge geography and crime together. He also created an entire company, Baer Analytics, that was dedicated to analysts and helping them succeed over the years.
Sean was also on Mary Craig's top five. She said of him, quote, Sean took his experience working a beat and investigating crime and translated that into a program attack that revolutionized the crime analysis industry. He took insights he wished he had as a beat officer and translated them into statistical calculations that were rooted in math and science. He took manual spreadsheet work and translated it into automated processes. He pushed RMS vendors to include additional fields to capture MO data. He partnered with RMS and CAD vendors to give analysts clean and accurate data to help connect crimes using automation and queries instead of rote memories. Sean revolutionized a profession by bringing the analytical technology into the 21st century, unquote. In terms of the technology and bringing his software to the forefront of crime analysis, I totally agree. And the attack software really helps with setting up matrices for MO, categorizing, and simplifying the regular expression calculations. So when you're doing searches, okay, give me every situation where blue is within five words of Nissan. It gives you an opportunity to really search your data, especially the narratives. Sean was in the top five of Mark Stallo, who told me that he was a very supportive vendor when Mark was president of IACA. Noah Fritz, who, as you probably recall, if you listened to Noah's episode, Noah called Sean the Michael Jordan of crime analysis. Sean was also on Trina Cook and Matt Harris's top five list. And Sean's probably going to yell at me. I'm sure I'm going to get a text from him saying, why is he number nine on this list? And you could make an argument that he should be higher on this list. This is where the influence of being on the executive board comes into play. The people that are 1 through 8 on this list, being part of the executive board or doing it for so long, really push Sean to the back of this list. And if Sean or Rachel were ever on the executive board, they would catapult up this list. Number 8 is Dale Harris. Dale Harris, we had on this show a couple weeks ago. He is a founding member of IACA. He was crucial in putting together the first conference in Denver, and he was the first president of the IACA. I say president with air quotes over top of it because there was another president, but he had to resign shortly after becoming president. And so Dale, practically speaking, was the first IACA president. Dale was on the top five for Sean Baer, Mark Stallo, and Lori Frank. Beyond being on the executive board and helping to create the IACA, his company, Corona Solutions, created an innovation award that rewarded analysts' work for innovation in the field by paying their expenses to the conference. He was IACA president for 3 years. And again, it's hard for me to tell the story of the IACA without including Dale Harris. Number 7 is Jim Mallard. I met him initially through the listserv. Jim's influence over the technology committee is great. If there was a top five for the technology committee only, Jim Mallard would be number 1. I think the year's commitment that he did improving the listserv and acknowledging upcoming technology. He recognized early on the importance of social media and RSS feeds, brought that to the IACA. Most of you probably know him through the website or through the technology aspects of that. But I also wanted to bring some perspective on him as a trainer. Manny St. Pedro sent these words on Jim as a trainer.
I think I speak for a number of IACA members when I say Jim Mallard has had a tremendous impact on my crime analysis career. From the first time I watched his presentations at our training conferences, I was really impressed at his understanding of the real challenges analysts face, like accessing their data and automating the repetitive tasks of collecting and transforming data. I still have recordings of his presentations, and I have to admit, I've viewed them several times throughout my years as an analyst in Toronto. I also appreciate the tip Jim gave me on creating Outlook tasks automatically using Access VBA. The amount of attendees in these training sessions are typically a good indication of value the speaker brings to the table. And Jim can usually pack a large room. The insights you've shared within the ICA has had a great impact on me, as with many other ICA members. Hat tip to you, Jim.
Jim's on Sean Baer's, Mark Stalos, and Sean Pfister's top five. Jim was also in NOAA's top five, and here's what NOAA had to say.
Jim Mallard's role as technology director and website designer extraordinaire put IACA on the map and made the IACA's listserv and online service indispensable resources for each and every member. His creation connected us as a cohesive group and provided the conduit for which the IACA grew and expanded both nationally and internationally. Jim's innovation moved us into a new era where social media became the wave. Countless hours of his time was proffered, and he deserves great kudos for his effort.
If you remember on Dale Harris's episode, when I asked him in terms of the Corona Solutions Innovations Award, what award was the most memorable, he said Jim's. Jim was using Microsoft Office tools to help analysts do their job better. Using software that they already have was a huge leg up. Dale was truly impressed by the work that Jim did. Jim is also an executive board winner and a president award winner with the IACA. He spent 3 years on the executive board, vice president of administration, before taking over as president when NOAA resigned. Number six is Mary Berticelli. I think NOAA's said it best, so I am going to just let NOAA do the talking here.
Mary took the IACA to the next level in regard to the conference by bringing a professionalization to the task and by building relationships with vendors who sponsored booths and provided revenue as the conference grew to record number of attendees. Her contributions brought the IACA a stellar reputation for must-attend conferences and has stepped up as president when her leadership was drastically needed.
So Mary is also on Steve Gottlieb's top five and Lori Frank's top five. She was part of the conference committee for 10 plus years. I remember her dealing mostly with vendors for the conference. That can get hairy working with all the different vendors. So she always did a great job with the conference. She's a president award winner for IACA. And I do remember when she got that award, one of the things that was described about her is being so open and helpful. There was times when analysts wanted to go to the conference, but were paying for it on their own and had trouble paying for the hotel. And so she would offer her hotel room as a roommate situation so they could attend the conference. And just like Noah said, when she brought stability to the conference, I had mentioned when I had her on the show, starting in 2015, the IACA board went through a period of instability. You went from Susan Whitford resigning, Carolyn Cassidy being president for a short time, Noah Fritz being president for a short time, Jim Mallard being president for a short time. Just dealing with what I've mentioned as the Civil War and some of the dark times that happened in the association during this time, 2014 through 2018, Mary has brought comfort and stability to the association. After inheriting, I'll call it distrust, or maybe some folks that hurt feelings, people that are upset with the association, she's done a great job as president in terms of making sure everybody gets listened to, everybody has a voice, and that all ideas that are brought to her are at least evaluated. As she said, there's certain objectives that she has for the association, so there might not be able to get to your idea right away, but she certainly will take the time, listen to your question or your suggestion, and see how she can get it done if possible. So Mary's been IACA president for 2 years, and Mary has such a big heart. I think there's some people on this list who rubbed people the wrong way or have a vendetta against or don't like certain things that they did, but you won't hear that about Mary. I don't think you're going to find a person that's going to talk ill will against Mary. And I'm laughing a little bit now because I asked Mary about her top five, and she, of course, struggled with naming names, but she did give an answer. she gave top five categories plus two bonus categories because she couldn't whittle it down to five. So I wanted to take a moment to talk about Mary's seven categories that she sent me and the people that she named in these categories. She talks about the founding members of the IACA who started and took the lead. So she names Dale Harris, Noah Fritz, and Mark Stallo. Her second category is people who are or big contributors to the listserv and or the forums. So this is Brian Hill, Deb Peel, and Leonard Leedy. And I had mentioned Leonard Leedy before, but I didn't say who he was. He was a vendor for a long time with the association at the conference running the ACISS system, A-C-I-S-S systems, which was a case management software. Probably more importantly, in terms of the impact of the IACA, Leonard Leedy was the Excel guy. Now, I know probably some of you are saying, but Jason's the Excel guy. Well, he was the Excel guy before I was the Excel guy, if that's your opinion. There was several years in a row where Lenny taught Excel and taught you how to customize the ribbon to ease your burden in terms of doing work in Excel. The third category on Mary's list is people who chaired or planned our training conference committee over the years. So this is Susan Whitford, Carolyn Cassidy, Allison Mayer Sullivan, and Albert Mesa. Mary's fourth category is people who contributed to writing and editing the IACA book, Exploring Crime Analysis. The fifth category is people who provided training either in conjunction with the IACA or to the field by writing books or developing software about crime analysis. So this is Sean Baer and Dan Helms through the CMAP program, Rachel Boba Santos and Steve Gottlieb. When Mary was teaching at Arizona State University, she used Rachel and Steve's books to teach the class. The first bonus category for Mary is, she said, quote, "I thought of Stacy Belladin as an influential IACA person as she embodies a tradition that I love. She sings the national anthem so beautifully at the beginning of every IACA conference, and that is one of my favorite parts of the conference," unquote. And our last category is the bravest IACA member. And that goes to Sally Rawlings and Michelle Kennedy for being the first to take the IACA certification exam. It makes me think of, I have to have Michelle on, because if you remember from Sally's episode, she said that she's the first person to be certified by the IACA because she finished her exam before Michelle. But I have not gotten Michelle's retort on that. So I'm looking forward to having Michelle on the program. And so that's Mary's categories. And it's typical of her to have such difficulty narrowing it down and coming up with way more than what is asked of her. But I think it also says a lot about who she is and how she's contributed to the association and why she's on this list. She's only been president for 2 years. If she goes on, gets reelected next year, and depending on all what the association accomplishes under her leadership, I could see her moving up to number four on my list. I guess with that being said, let's take a break. When we come back, we will get into my top five biggest influencers to the IACA, and we will also reveal the survey results from the membership. You're listening to Analyst Talk with Jason Elder. We'll be right back.
You didn't do the dishes?
Well, no, I was busy doing other chores. But my completed chores is up 5 in the last 7 days.
Yeah, but you're still down 13 over the last 28 days.
Well, I see your shopping purchases is up 20% this month.
My spending is still down year to date. In fact, my black shoe purchases are half of what they were this time last year.
Well, thank goodness last year wasn't a normal year.
Plus, I bought you new underwear, so your clothes purchases is up 40% this month compared to last month.
Well, wait, there were no clothes purchases the previous month, Miss Perfect. I didn't know you had the ability to divide by zero.
You should be happy. Your temperature-led policing program has worked great in this house. I have not touched your precious thermostat in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Before the break, I had run through 6 through 10 in my top 10 most influential for the IACA. So just a quick recap. At number 10, Rachel Boba Santos. 9, Sean Baer. 8, Dale Harris. 7, Jim Mallard. 6, Mary Berticelli. And my 5th most influential for the IACA is Steve Gottlieb. Before I get into my take, let's listen to Mike Winslow's on why he put Steve on his top 5 list.
Steve Gottlieb, the man who helped all get it started for us analysts. Steve is the foundation of crime analysis. You won't meet many analysts who haven't been impacted by his training or his practices nowadays. He's been a staple in the community. And he's the man behind the Alpha Group, who so many have had classes on and been trained too many years to count over the years.
So Steve's also on Noah Fritz's top 5 list. In fact, when Noah was on, he called Steve the granddaddy of crime analysis. Steve is also on Albert Mesa and Lori Frank's top 5 list. For me, Steve was influencing the IACA membership before there was an IACA. His longevity is why he's where he is on this list. His product, his training with the Alpha Group and the book Crime Analysis from First Report to Final Arrest are staples in the profession. Many people have read the book, have taken his classes and been influenced by his teachings. And I know he was also on the initial certification committee, and he's also had a big influence over the regional associations in California. He currently has IACA's Innovations in Crime Analysis Award, which is sponsored by Steve Gottlieb and the Alpha Group Center for Crime and Intelligence Analysis Training. This is an award that's given out every year, except this year because of COVID. And this is an award that he gives out for both the IACA and the California Regional Association. You can normally find Steve at the conferences. He is a wealth of information, and he has so much experience, guidance, and so much to offer. I really give him a lot of credit for his award that he currently has for association, because it's a cash prize, which some people frown on actually receiving cash, and maybe even some departments won't allow you even to receive a cash prize, but he gives it to them personally because he recognizes it's their effort, it's their work, it's the analyst's work that's being rewarded. And now for my top 4, we are on the Mount Rushmore for the IACA, and it wasn't easy to get here. I think you could make arguments for any one of the number in my top 10 to be in the top 4. But number 4 is Mark Stallo. Mark was one of the first guests we had on the podcast. So you can listen to him and listen to his influence over the profession there. Mark also made Mary Craig's top 5. And she says of Mark, quote, "Mark was one of the original IACA members and board members who was a sworn command staff member in the analysis role. This was a unique place in the late 90s and early 2000s and gave IACA great perspective on how to take analytics and use them for command level decisions. Mark always gave us his sworn command level thoughts on new concepts." Unquote. Mark's on Sean Baer, Albert Mesa, and Lori Frank's top 5 list. When I contacted Susan Whitford, she said that you definitely need to put Mark on your list. As she says, quote, "I would definitely add Mark Stallo to your list. He kept the organization from folding a couple of times by literally paying for the conference out of his own pocket, though reimbursed later, and brought together various analysts who ultimately led the organization. Me, Noah, Chris, and kept Dale Harris involved as needed," unquote. As you may recall from his episode for the podcast, Mark was IACA president and vice president of membership. So he served on the board for 10 years. He's the reason why we are IACA.net in terms of the website. I had an opportunity to work with Mark on some SMT white papers. He has a book written with Christopher Bruce, Better Policing with Microsoft Office. that book was very influential at the time. Again, because Microsoft is a set of software that analysts have access to or just naturally have at their department. So this idea of using Microsoft Office for crime analysis was far reaching. So Mark helped establish the Dallas, Texas analyst unit at Dallas Police Department. And as you may recall too, Sally Rawlings put the analyst unit at Dallas Police Department number two of her list of the best analytical units in the country. A big reason for why the analytical unit at Dallas Police Department is so great is because of the efforts of Mark. And Mark still teaches analysis today. He teaches at local universities and still contributes. And number three on the list is Susan Whisper. You might know Susan as Susan Renecki, Susan Smith, Susan Hammond. Susan is also on Mary Craig's top five list. She says of Susan, quote, "Susan's name was intertwined with IACA for many, many years, and I would be remiss if I left her off of this list. Susan advocated for every member of the IACA, whether she was pushing analysts to sit side by side with detectives to use the data to solve crime, or training chiefs on what an analyst actually did to support operations. She was a board member who was truly for the membership and how she pushed the profession forward. Susan continues her advocacy for the profession years after leaving government through her work now in the private sector," unquote. Susan also made Sean's top five.
But most of all, I would say Susan Hammond. Nobody will ever know the level of work and effort she gave the IACA. She is by far, in my opinion, the IACA's most influential and impactful person. The association is better for Susan's efforts, and I absolutely thank her for that.
And as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, Jeff Vandersip and Susan is on his top five. So this is what he had to say about Susan.
Susan Smith, former president of the IACA, who exhibited tremendous energy and enthusiasm in moving our profession forward. And just when I think of Susan, I just think of just this tremendous energy. You know, she was like a bumblebee running around conferences, you know, ensuring that things were done.
It's funny. She was. She has such a great presence. When she walks in the room, it's just she commands the room, I guess is the words that I'm looking for. Has great confidence, is a great speaker, and has great vision. Knows where she wants to go, comes up with a plan, and gets there. And it's for so many years there, she was on the IACA board and was the face of the IACA. She was president of the IACA, vice president of administrations, and secretary. So for over 12 years, she was on the IACA board. She was also a conference chair for 7 years. During her time, she led the first international symposium, which was in Vancouver. During her time, she created the College and Universities Committee. She moved the association to actually be a 501c3 organization. That is a tax status with the government, and I'm sure that that was not an easy endeavor. I remember she was in charge of changing the logo, if you remember that period of time. She introduced the Lifetime Achievement Award and the Presidential Award for the association. She was on the original publications committee for the IACA newsletter. So Susan has had a lot of influence on various committees and the association as a whole. I haven't had her on the show yet, but I'm looking forward to having her on the show soon and getting her perspective on her influence over the association. Number two on this list, and oh man, one and two were tough in terms of you certainly could interchange them and you could make the argument one or two for this person. But number two on my list is Christopher Bruce. Christopher is also on Noah Fritz's, so I want to get Noah's perspective first.
Chris Bruce. What can I say about Christopher Bruce? He was the pure ambassador of the IACA for nearly 20 years. I do not know a single individual within the IACA that was more committed to the cause, more entrenched in making it grow by reaching out and helping everyone and anyone. He gave graciously of his time and knowledge as a board member, an author, an instructor, an innovator, a Robert's Rule of Order guru, a leader, and a consummate brainstormer and debater. Chris was present and available every day from the day he got involved. He lived and breathed IACA.
I couldn't agree more with those words, and I think he is a great historian of the association. He knows the bylaws better than anyone else. If you remember when I had the question for Rhea Gerstenkorn as to what would happen if all members of the executive board were under an ethics complaint, what would happen? It was Christopher Bruce that supplied the answer for me as to how that would be handled. And Christopher was also on Jeff Vandersip's top five list. So let's take a listen to hear what Jeff said.
Chris Bruce is obviously another titan in the IACA. I've gotten to know Chris a little bit over the years. He's another New Englander. I'm born and bred from New England, so I kind of get where he's coming from on a personality level. But he's been amazing at helping train individual analysts in how to become better analysts. I remember years ago taking his tips and tricks class when he came out to San Diego. And that was just a huge eye-opener for me because I was relatively new. Huge eye-opener in terms of what the potential for us to do good work in the law enforcement community. So Chris Bruce is definitely, can't overstate how much his influence has been in IACA.
Yeah, and in terms of other people that have Christopher Bruce in their top five, Mark Stallo, Albert Mesa, Matt Harris, and Lori Frank. I think Christopher Bruce's name in the IACA is the most recognized. I think his influence in terms of training and his periodicals are vast, and it's just difficult to go over everything of how much he's impacted. There's not a committee on the IACA that he has not influenced. He has spent so much time making the IACA better. In his episode for this podcast, he had a great message, and I truly encourage all of you to listen to it if you haven't already. Chris, you know, in terms of some of the periodicals that are a big influence, I mentioned the Better Policing with Microsoft Office that he wrote with Mark Stallo, but he also wrote an article on spatial statistics and crime analysis using CrimeStat 3. He's also author of the ICA book, a textbook, and has various other articles of influence. He also created a threshold analysis tool using Microsoft Access that I used. The threshold analysis identifying what is normal and what is non-normal and how predictable your data is. This is something that I know has an influence across the globe. When I was in Chile, the analysis that he wrote up for threshold analysis was implemented. And so he has had a great influence over the profession with various tools, with various techniques, with different teachings. And he is not over influence over IACA, but he has also had a great influence over MACA, the Massachusetts Association of Crime Analysts. He was both president and vice president of administration for MACA. He has over 15 years of experience on the IACA executive board. And I truly don't think he's done. I really see in the future that he would have another term on the executive board. I mean, I joked around about him that all he needs to do is be treasurer and secretary, and he would have the cycle for IACA's executive board. He's been president, vice president of administration, and vice president of membership. And he's truly deserves being number two on this list. Certainly, I could see him with another stint on the executive board leapfrogging to number one. And speaking of number one, the person who I believe influenced the IACA Association the most in its 30-year history is Noah Fritz. I had Noah on the show. If you listen to that episode, you certainly get an understanding as why he's number one on this list. He's also on the list for Mary Craig, so I want to read what Mary wrote about Noah. Quote, Noah always pushed analysts to do more regardless of the technology they had or didn't have, the data issues they encountered, or the resistance they received at their departments. I remember sitting in many presentations he gave at IACA, IALEA, and IACP, in which he challenged command staff to integrate crime analysis into their daily policing function. He also pushed for true international growth of the IACA into the UK and Australia, just to name a few. He embraced the diversity of IACA and always pushed the organization to do more for its members, unquote. Noah is also on Sean Baer's top five. So here's why Sean put Noah Fritz on his top five.
Definitely Noah Fritz, massively passionate about the profession and the IACA, always giving him his time and talents.
And here is Jeff Vandersip, who worked directly with Noah.
So I've had the opportunity to have worked for Noah Fritz a number of years ago in his role as the manager for the crime analysis unit at the Sheriff's Department. But I also got to know him in his roles in the IACA. Noah has an intense curiosity about the world, an intense curiosity about the profession, and can spend hours talking to people about the profession, about where he believes the profession needs to go, where it's been. And I don't think you can underestimate his role in helping shape who a lot of us are as analysts and who the association is in its current structure.
So Noah also made Kurt Smith's and Joey Ryan's top five list. In addition to some of his contributions, is he's associate editor of Crime Mapping, a journal of research and practice. He taught for years the IACA Tactical Crime Analysis Training Series and Comprehensive Crime Analysis Training. He is a three-term president and a one-term treasurer with the IACA, and also served as a past president. He received the Lifetime Achievement Award with the IACA. He's also attended 28 different IACA conferences, and many of those conferences he was either teaching or in a leadership position. I think the reason I have him number one over Christopher Bruce is for two reasons. I think his personal influence over so many analysts, we talked about that in his episode when I had him on the show, the analyst tree. The number of analysts that Noah has a personal relationship with and has a significant role on their professional development puts him at this spot of number one. I think also what does it for me is he's one of the original members for IACA. He was at the first conference, and when he became president, his strategic plan changed the association forever. And he talked about when he became president, there was too many projects going on and that there was just not enough progress being made. So he made the decision that they were going to only focus on three projects, and that was the book, certification, and training. By leading that charge, even though he said it took 10 years to get the book out, and we know about the book and the certification going hand in hand and the training that goes on for the certification. The book, certification, training are the pillars of the IACA. Again, I just can't imagine trying to tell the IACA story without Noah Fritz and his contributions. And so I have Noah number one on this list. I don't think maybe Noah's done either. Noah's retired. And as he said, he's got something going on that he hasn't mentioned yet. And I think he may not be done with the IACA either. I could see him having some additional role in the future. I do want to reveal what the membership said in the survey. So the association on the survey at number 10, Kyle Stoker, 9, Annie Mitchell, 8, Jim Mallard, 7, Deborah Peel, 6, Rachel Boba Santos, 5, Steve Gottlieb, 4, Brian Hill, 3, Noah Fritz, 2, Sean Baer, and number 1 is Christopher Bruce. So clearly the membership got it wrong because mine's the right answer. No, I'm kidding. But there are a ton of names on here, and I think it's interesting, depending on your age, the number of years you've been in the profession, or years you've been part of the IACA, the different answers you get. One of the things I did think about doing is waiting and getting more quotes from a variety of different people. But at the same time, I didn't want this project to linger too long. I did start in September trying to figure out how I was going to get there. And I did delay this podcast episode for as long as I did. I did also want to get it by the end of the year because this is the 30th anniversary of the IACA. So let me know what you think. Do you agree with my list, my top 10 most influential to the IACA Association are? At number 10, Rachel Boba Santos. 9, Sean Baer. 8, Dale Harris. 7, Jim Mallard. 6, Mary Brutichelli. 5, Steve Gottlieb. So on my Mount Rushmore for the IACA, I have 4, Mark Stallo. 3, Susan Whitford. 2, Christopher Bruce. 1, Noah Fritz. So do you agree with my top 10? Let me know what you think. You can always send us an email, leapodcasts@gmail.com. So that's leapodcasts@gmail.com. You can always find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, on the IACA forums. Just like always, I've given you just enough to talk bad about me later, but I do hope you've enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode, and you all be safe.
Thank you for joining us today on Analyst Talk with Jason Alder. We hope you not only enjoyed the show, but also learned something new. For more information on our guests and information relating to today's topic, please visit our website at leapodcast.com. Special thanks to The Rough and Tumble for our theme song. For more of their music, you can visit their website at theroughandtumble.com. Also thanks to Kyle McMullen for our show logo. For more of his design, please visit his website at moderntype.com. The show is hosted, recorded, and edited by Jason Alder and written by me, Mindy. You can contact us both via the LEA Podcast website. Please join us again next time as we interview another expert in this great field.